Sunday the 15th of July 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Unlocking the Letter. Sermon title, Joyful Citizens. Bible reading, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 30. Talk by Roger Whip.
This reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1. Starting at verse 21, picking up from Paul's chains, advance the gospel. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is the better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this lovely day. And Lord, although some of us do struggle a bit in the heat, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move through this place like the tongues of fire of Pentecost, Lord. And I pray that we will all be challenged, not condemned but convicted, Lord, that there is more for us to receive from you as we look at your word. And so I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In February 2013, the UK Food Standards Agency closed a slaughterhouse and a processing plant after investigators found horse meat carcasses that had been used to make beef burgers and kebabs sold in Britain. A month later, Swedish furniture giant IKEA was drawn into the food labelling scandal, as authorities said they detected horse meat in their frozen meatballs labelled as beef and pork and sold in 13 countries across the continent. Now, one of our claims to fame is that Maggie and I have never been to IKEA, and all our friends, you say, you must go, even if you go for the meatballs, you must go. Thank you, Lord, we never did, but there you go. And shortly after the European horse meat scandal broke, officials in Iceland decided to run tests to make sure that the same thing wasn't happening in Iceland. Now, fortunately, the Icelandic meat inspectors didn't find any horse meat, but one brand of locally produced beef pie left it stumped. It contained no meat at all. It appeared to have some sort of vegetable product. And one of the lead inspectors said, "This was a peculiar thing. It was labelled as a beef pie, so it should have been a beef pie." We here at St Chad's are labelled Christian. And I ask the question, do we come up to scratch? Today's Bible reading clearly spells out what is expected of us. in verse 27a. It said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the Bible is very clear. If you call yourself a Christian, and that doesn't just mean coming to here on a Sunday morning, you should follow and display the example and teaching of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Today's given sermon title is Citizens of Joy. Now, there is a danger of believing that being happy is the same as being joyful. Yet they are, in many ways, a little bit like chalk and cheese. Very different. William Barclay, the famous clergyman and writer, summed it up when he said this. Joy has nothing to do with material things or with a man's outward circumstances. A man living in the lap of luxury can be wretched. And a man in the depths of poverty can overflow with joy. To those who don't believe in God, life on earth is all there is. So it's natural for them to strive for worldly things. You know, money, popularity, power, pleasure and prestige, all in the pursuit of happiness. I want to read to you an article by Max Lucado, the famous pastor and author. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself, he can't feed himself, he can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his own underwear. Strips of Velcro will hold his shirt together. His speech drags on like a worn-out audio cassette. Robert Reed has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving the car, riding the bike, and going for a walk. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated in a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at St. Louis Junior College or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972. There he rented a hotel room and began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him with the language. Then he stationed himself daily in a park where he distributed brochures about Christ. Within 6 years, he led 70 people to the Lord, one of whom became his wife, Rosa. I heard Robert speak recently. I watched other men carrying him in his wheelchair onto the platform. I watched them lay a Bible on his lap. I watched his stiff fingers forcing open the pages. And I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration from their faces. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity. But he did just the opposite. He held up his bent hand in the air and he boasted, "I have everything that I need for joy." You see, from that article, Robert had claimed his right to joy. He had citizenship of joy. What does it mean to have citizenship? This is the Bible definitions. The state of being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a citizen. The character of an individual viewed as a member of society. Behaviour in terms of duties, obligations and functions of a citizen. Now, I am no different to most of the people here this morning. Although I'm grateful for such a fulfilled and often blessed life, it has been a roller coaster ride. There have been many happy moments, especially lately, as Maggie and I started to tick off from our bucket list all the different countries we wanted to see whilst we can. Because God has created an amazing world, and I encourage people to see as much of it as you can. However, it hasn't always been plain sailing. There have been moments of great sadness, disappointments and heartaches as well. And I have to confess, even after becoming a Christian, there were times where I found it virtually impossible to either be happy or joyful. St. Paul is one of my Bible heroes. Although falsely accused of being a misogynist, a person who hates women, and many people picking and mixing his biblical teaching, often ignoring or trying to twist his instructions, especially on immoral sexual relationships. There are two things that we can be sure about St. Paul. First, if we think we've had a rough ride, he was stoned, shipwrecked not once, but three times, bitten and nearly died by a poisonous snake, flogged and imprisoned on numerous occasions, and on top of all that, he had what the Bible calls a thorn in his flesh. No one knows for sure what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. There have been various theories offered by theologians, such as a chronic illness or even bad eyesight has been suggested. We just don't know, because the Bible does not tell us. Paul had asked three times to be delivered of this affliction, but God didn't heal him. The reason is obvious, as is stated by Paul himself, that it was to keep him humble. It says that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And I think it's worth noting that our afflictions, which are permitted by God, are often for the same reason. No, we cannot see how perverse sin really is in us. And sometimes we're humbled by our afflictions and we turn to God and trust him. Sometimes it's just a last resort, when often it should, or always should be, the first resort. This, of course, is a good thing. Secondly, he was a citizen of joy. Paul chose joy despite of his chains and crisis. Paul chose to look at his chains as an instrument, clearing the way for advancing the gospel. Starting with the prison guards who took turns watching his every move. Now, with each new guard that came, there was an opportunity for Paul to share his faith. These prison guards heard him pray. They heard him preach and dictate letters to all the churches that he wrote to for 2 years. He had joy in spite of his chains. And because of that, his joy created a confidence in others to speak the word of God with boldness. Paul also chose joy despite his critics. Some Christians in Rome had selfish desires and their own agendas, which included undermining Paul's ministry and creating problems for him. You know, such things still go on in the church today. I know from personal experience, just one of many examples that I could give you. Only recently I was banned from preaching at a church that I'd spoken to many times, as a member falsely accused me of affecting their and putting a virus on their computer. And they told Martin, in no uncertain terms, don't let him come back here and preach. You know, you cannot hurt a computer's feelings. And you cannot grieve a theological concept. But you can destroy a person. Although I have no problem with somebody challenging me on my talks. In fact, I do encourage it. But please, just try to be a little bit sensitive and loving in any criticism that you give to other people. You see, sometimes the enemy within is worse than the enemy outside. In my 32 years of ministry, I have faced more criticism and hurt from some Christians than my non-Christian friends. Several times I thought to myself, why should I bother? I think I'll pack it all in. Satan will use any trick in the book to stop us spreading the kingdom of God. However, thanks to encouragement from other churches and some of the fellowship, I've managed to keep my head above water. Likewise, Paul was destructible, but he was not destroyed because he chose joy. In verse 27, Paul encourages the believers to fight side by side, striving or contending for the faith. How sad that much time and effort are lost in some churches by fighting against one another instead of uniting against the real opposition. This discomfort that he and we will experience could not compare with the ultimate experience that Christ suffered on the cross. And that's why Paul makes this point. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. One day a famous preacher visited a nursing home where the patients had Alzheimer's disease. He went around and he greeted people who were very glad to see him. He walked up to one old lady and said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you." You know, it's not just people with Alzheimer's or dementia who forget who they are. Sometimes we as Christians forget who we are as God's children. How many times did your parents or somebody say to you, "At your age"? Probably, if you're like me, many times. But they likely also said to you, "Act your identity." They probably didn't say it as concisely or exactly like that, but probably said something like this: "When you're out with your friends, act in a way that will make us proud. Or don't behave in a way that will bring shame on the family." As Paul wrote to the Philippians, this is the main point that he made at the end of the first chapter. Paul challenged them with these words: "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Basically, Paul was saying, act your identity. Conduct yourself in a way that's consistent with who you are and what you believe in. But it's impossible, I think, for us to conduct ourselves in such a way if we don't remember who we are, especially if we don't claim our citizenship of joy. Many years ago, an often used phrase in Christian circles was, becoming a Christian isn't just pie in the sky when we die, but steak on your plate while we wait. It's been abused many times over the last 30 odd years. And I close with this challenge: what sort of Christian pie are we? If we were investigated for content, not by the UK Food Agency, but God, would we come up to scratch? What filling and what quantity and quality would we have? And I suggest that we need three basic fillings. One, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two, to be filled with the love of Christ. And thirdly, very important, to be filled with the joy of our faith that can nourish us with the peace and joy that passes all human understanding. No, we need to show those around us that our faith is worth having. So many people in the secular world view Christians as dull, boring hypocrites. Sadly, too often justifiable. We need to claim our rights and privileges of citizens of God and to fulfill our duties and have and display that we are joyful and not killjoys. Let us finish with this short video clip of one of my favourite American evangelists who tells it exactly as it is, George Myers.
I had a lot of discouragement and depression and bad moods in the early years of mine and Dave's marriage. I had a lot of problems. I'd been abused and I had not learned how to think right yet. And my husband loved me and he tried to help me, but I really wasn't at a point yet where I was ready to receive help. And I was unhappy a lot, but Dave stayed happy. And his joy made me mad. Well, it's the truth. You know, when you're unhappy, somebody that's happy annoys the living daylights out of you. You don't, it's just like, well, what are you so happy about? And so, and it would almost aggravate me that he didn't seem to have any problems. Well, it must be nice that life was so great for you, but you know, you didn't go through what I went through. But I can also tell you that in the long run, Dave's joy was the salt that God used to make me thirsty to have what he had. So you're not helping the person you're in relationship with. If you let them make you unhappy all the time, you're actually only feeding their problem. So if you want to help them, are you ready for this? If you want to help them, stay happy. I said, if you want to help them, stay happy. And I'm not talking about being ridiculous and going around and giggling all the time and not, but I'm just, you know, joy is anything from extreme hilarity to a calm delight. And I think that we have those moments of extreme hilarity, but basically we live in a calm delight. It's God's desire that we just live in this calm delight and that we can enjoy wherever we're at, whatever's going on. Not that we like everything that's going on, we don't. And one thing's for sure, now listen to what I'm going to say, you'll never be consistently happy if you don't make a decision that you're going to be.
Shortly, we will be sharing the peace. Introduced into services, not just to greet everyone in the whole church, but its purpose is to put each other right with each other before we try to put ourselves right with God. That's why we share the peace. If you had a grievance in the church, you were encouraged to get rid of that grievance before you took the wine and the bread. This morning, I believe we also need to put ourselves right with God to receive his peace and joy, claim our rights and privileges as citizens, as Christians of God. Amen.